your shame. I want to start by telling you my story of shame. This is going, we're just going to explore what it looks like in the Christian walk to take the path of shame and to take the path of glory, and the differences between the two, and how God offers you glory, and God can take your shame and turn it to glory. So I want to invite you into a brief part, but a deep part, of my story of shame and glory with God. So my father passed away when I was young, and I was ashamed of my father. I was ashamed of him because after he had died, we had discovered that he had committed some pretty terrible sexual sins. And we all wanted to look up to our fathers. When we have a father figure, we want it to be strong. We want him to be a role model, a leader, an example. But I only had a resentment for mine. I hate what he did. And growing up, I struggled with lust and temptation. And I began to look like my father. I began to be doing the things that I hated, that I saw in him, and I started to become the thing that I hate so much. So I didn't want to look at what my dad did, and I didn't even want to look at myself because I was starting to look like him, like father, like son, they say. So it was a shame, and I'm not proud of it. So my shame forced me away from God and others, and even myself. See, when you don't like others, like when you don't like your father or you don't like someone in your relationship and you're ashamed of what they did, you can avoid them and you can distance yourself from them. But when you're ashamed of something you did, you can't distance yourself from yourself. You're stuck with yourself wherever you go. So it was really tough. So my relationship with God began to wither. My relationship with others began to be closed off, become more defensive, more secretive. And that's what shame does. So it was hard to live openly, especially with my church family. If my church family knew the things I was struggling with, if my church family knew the sins I was doing, would they still be open to me? If my friends knew. So I failed so many times, but I was forgiven by God so many times. And I was so tired, and I just came to God time after time and saying, Jesus, you know, I can't carry the shame on my own, so please help me. If you don't help me, then I'm done, because I can't carry the shame on my own. So I said to him. And over time, Jesus began healing my shame, and I started to experience victory and glory and new life. I began to look like a godly man. I began to look like a faithful man. I began to look like what my father should have. My shame was overtaken with such great glory, and I was reconciled to God in my relationship with him and with my relationship with my dead father. And when God gave me this victory and glory as a man of being faithful and overcoming the sin and the shame, I said to myself, Tim, this is for you, what you always wanted to see in your dad, but you never got to. And I spoke to my dead dad, and I said, Dad, this is for you, for the glory you never got to experience. And I told God, what you did not see in my father, I pray that you would see in me because of what Jesus has done. So all glory, he's worthy of all glory, and he can take any shame and make it into glory. So my message to you today, God's message to you today, God can heal your deepest shame and bring glory in your relationships. God can heal your deepest shame, whatever it is, and he can bring glory for himself and for you and for the world. So I was once ashamed to tell the story. There's things I'm not proud of that I share with you. But now I'm so proud of this story because it's a story of God's glory, the story of my glory. It's a story of our reconciliation and how shame can be overcome. And like someone said to me, my worst defeats and my worst shame have become my greatest trophies in Christ. So today, I want to ask you to let Jesus cover your shame. So next, I want to invite you to just, I shared a little bit about myself, but I want you just to think to yourself. You don't have to say anything. Just think to yourself in your mind, what is your personal shame? What is your personal shame? What are the things about you that you wish nobody knew? What are you ashamed of before God and before others if you were to look deep in your soul? And for some of us, it's relational failures. For some of us, it's things we don't live up to. For some of us, it could be a sinful addiction or a behavior, a habit. We let someone down. Or we should have did something and we didn't follow through. So next, I want to ask you, which person are you? You're either one of the three. You're sitting here today listening to this message, and you're one of the three. So I want you to identify yourself and listen to the message in light of which one you are. So the first one, Some people believe that they have no shame. So if you're sitting there and you believe, I have no shame, I'm here to tell you, yes, you do. And I know it's going to offend a lot of people, but read the Bible and come back to me. We'll talk together. We all have shame, and we are all in need of God. So if you don't believe you have shame, I'm here to offend you and tell you, yes, you do. Number two, if you come and you're sitting there and you realize, yes, I'm living in shame. I'm living in shame and I'm struggling with things that no one knows about. It's hurting me. I've been hiding it. I've been carrying it for a while. I want to tell you that Jesus wants to cover your shame and clothe you in glory. And the third, if you're here today and you've been healed of your shame, that's great. I love that so much and praise God for that. I want you to listen to my story, and I want you to also, just like myself, share your story of how God healed your shame so others can experience that glory as well. So whichever three you are, there's something here for you. So next I want to talk about what is shame. What is shame? Now shame needs no introduction. When I say what is shame, it hits something already. Something sparks in you. You're well aware of what shame is. But if I could give you a simple definition of what shame is, it's any regrets or embarrassment that cause you to hurt or to hide. Any regrets or embarrassment that cause you to hurt or hide. Now going forward to the nature of shame. What's the nature of shame? All right, so if you think about it, shame only comes when you fail to live up to someone's standards. When I fail to live up to my own standards, I'm ashamed. When someone fails, like my father, if he fails to live up to my standard, I'm ashamed of him. So based on whose standard you're trying to live up to, shame comes. But ultimately, I'm talking about God's standard. See, I never thought lustful temptations were shameful until I started comparing myself to God's standards, until I started knowing who God is and what he desires in relationship. So shame tells you that there's something wrong that needs to be made right. Shame brings deep sense of guilt, pain, and secrecy. It puts barriers in relationships with God and others. Shame leaves us with an overwhelming burden spiritually and emotionally that cripples you. It robs you of the fullest life that God has for you. Now the opposite of shame, what is glory? If I could give you a simple definition of glory, it would be this. Any recognition of greatness being confidently displayed. You recognize something is great and it's being confidently displayed. Total opposite of shame. Shame hides. Glory is open and public. Now what's the nature of glory? So the opposite. Glory comes when we live up to someone's standards. Again, I'm talking God's standards. Glory allows us to stand in confidence before God and others. You have nothing to hide. There's a sense of openness about it. Glory allows relationships to be whole and complete as God desired. You have glory when you're being all that God created you to be in the context of your relationships. And glory is reflecting who God is into the world. The fact that your greatest glory comes when you glorify God, when you live in a way that glorifies him. So I want to take you to the Bible, the first relationship story of glory. So I'm going to take you to the Bible, the first relationship in Genesis, Adam and Eve. A lot of you guys are familiar with the story of Adam and Eve. But this is what glory looked like, the first relationship. So what did it look like between Adam and his wife Eve and God? So Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. The life was perfection, perfect glory, perfect relationship with God. Adam was everything that God created him to be. You know how great that feels like when you come before God and you have nothing to hide? You have no sin, no shame. And you confidently stand there and say, God, I got nothing to hide before you. I'm everything you wanted me to be. In the context of relationship, when I'm a good brother and my siblings look up to me, I have that confidence, I have that glory. People would say, that's my brother, or that's my father, or that's my sister, that's my mom. When you live up to that glory and that expectation, right? And that's the greatest feeling ever, when someone comes up to you and says, that's my pastor. That's my father. Great glory, great glory. And Adam and Eve had that before God. It's beautiful. Lived up to God's standard. Nothing to hide from God. It says that they were naked before God and unashamed. Naked before God and unashamed. And what was life like? Okay, if you read through the Bible, these are the commands that God gives to Adam, right? Pretty much be fruitful and multiply. So love your wife, make love to your wife. Eat everything except from this one tree, and you own the place. That's it. That's it. That's the glory. love your wife, eat everything, and you own the place. And then they sinned and offended God. They ate from the tree that they were not supposed to. They disobeyed, and that caused the wedge, that caused the shame, that caused the distance in the relationship. So what was the first relationship of glory became the first relationship of shame. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He asked. Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid. Then later on in Genesis 3:21, it says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Naked before God, sinned, were ashamed, went to hide and hid, tried to make fig leaf clothing for themselves. And God calls them out and covers them, covers their shame. So sin brings shame, and the relationships to God begin to shut down when you have sin and shame in your life. You're no longer open and transparent, and you begin to get closed off to the blessings of God. Adam and Eve began to experience suffering. They were distanced. They're banished from the Garden of Eden. They're pushed away from God. And in the same way, when we sin and when we make offenses in our relationships, we feel that same experience. We get distance. There's hostility. There's a divide, a barrier. So there's really only three options in dealing with shame seen in this passage. So the first option is to hide. If no one knows, no one sees, no one knows, right? It's convenient. It's the easy way out. It's the temporary solution. Adam hid from God, but God sees through it. You see that pic? That pic's hilarious. I found it online. I posted it. That's you hiding before God. And you don't hide very well, but you do it often. So I want to ask you, what in your life are you shameful of? Are things about you that you try to hide from God and others? Hiding means you have not fully dealt with your shame. Hiding means you have not fully dealt with your shame. The second option is fix it yourself. We all like to fix it ourselves. Sometimes we try to go at our problems without God's help. We rely on our personal efforts to cover our shame. Sometimes in my life, like, God, I struggle with lust, but on the flip side, I'm doing good things in this area of my life. God, I struggle with lust, but on the flip side, you know, at least I'm... So sometimes we try to compensate or fix it ourselves. Or have you ever said this to yourself or heard someone say this? Let me get my life straight and then I'll come to God. Let me clean myself up and then I'll come to God. And it never does work. I tried it for years and it doesn't work. So if you're trying to hide, I'm telling you that it's not going to work. Option one doesn't work. Fix it yourself too. It doesn't work without God's help. It doesn't work without God's help. Adam and Eve tried to fix their situation. They made clothing from fig leaves. You know how pitiful that would look like? That's like, imagine getting like the maple tree leaves and trying to tie like a dress up together. It doesn't hide anything. So even if they were physically covered, their moral conscience was seared and corrupted. Even if you're physically covered, your moral conscience is seared. And a fig leaf dress, fig leaf clothing can't wipe away that stain on your consciousness. So do you try to fix your mistakes before coming to God, or when you should be just coming to God and letting Him fix your mistakes for you and working with God? So the third option is let Jesus cover your shame. See, God calls them out, calls for Adam to come out of hiding, and He covers them with a skin, an animal skin. This is an animal skin, so something had to die in order for them to get that skin and clothe them. Something had to die to cover their shame, to erase their shame. If you've been in the faith walk long enough, this is a picture, a representation, ultimately fulfilled by Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you. Something had to die to cover your shame and your sin. So this is pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who could fix your mistakes and cover your shame and forgive sin and cleanse your consciousness and give you a right standing and a right relationship before God. But letting Jesus cover your shame does not mean passively doing nothing. Because Adam heard God calling, Adam responded, Adam came forth. He confronted his shame by coming into God's presence, and they allowed and accepted God to cover them with that skin. So you need to respond to God's voice. You need to come forth into the light. You need to to confront your shame and accept forgiveness. For years I struggled with this, and for years I didn't. And for years I thought I was doing the right thing, but I was missing this. So next, if you're sitting there wondering, why do I need Jesus to cover my shame? If you don't have a relationship with God, many of you do, but if you don't, you might be asking, okay, why do I need Jesus to cover my shame? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of that glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember I told you shame comes when you fall short of someone's standards? It says we've all fallen short of God's standards. So we all have shame before God, and that severs our relationship. Now let me give you a little comparison of some people who don't know God and never had a relationship with God. They're content with their lives. Like, ah, church, I don't need church. Ah, God, I don't need God. Let me give you an example to try to get you to picture what you're missing in life, what it feels like. It's like, think of a great relationship you have with your father. Think of the great relationship you have with your father. And imagine coming up to me, trying to convince me that, Tim, you're missing out on so much. If Tim was content, like, I don't need a dad. Given the choice between having a shameful relationship or no father at all, or a glorious relationship with my father, I would rather choose no father in shame. You'd come up to me and be convincing me. You'd be telling me, Tim, what are you talking about? You know, the memories you have with your father are so deep. The intimacy you can have, the love you can have. You know how many times my dad's been there to help me, give me wisdom and guidance. So it'd be easy for you to understand that earthly picture, right? If you're trying to tell someone what they're missing out on if they had no father. So I'm telling you, if you have no spiritual father in heaven, I'm telling you the exact same thing. You don't know what you're missing out on. God, relationship with God is deeper and more glorious and fulfilling than anything you can have on earth. So I'm asking, do you want your relationships to be shameful with God and others, or do you want it to be glorious? And you're missing out on so much love if you're content without a glorious relationship with God. Okay, so how do I let Jesus carry my shame? How do I let Jesus carry my shame? The first thing is to be aware of your shame. Remember I told you I was never aware of my lust and my shame until I knew God's standards? So some people, the people who believe they have no shame, they haven't met God or read the Bible or know God's standards. So the first thing would be to be aware of your shame and be aware of what God requires in a relationship. The second, come out of hiding. Whatever guilt or shame you wrestle with, come out of hiding. Adam and Eve heard God's voice. They came forward. Maybe for you, maybe that looks like confessing your sin. Maybe that's seeking an accountability group or just sharing with someone close to you. The third thing would be to confront your shame. And this is tough, but stand face to face with your shame and take ownership of it. God said, did you eat from the tree? Adam said, it was that woman you gave me, God. God went to the woman, Eve, did you eat from that tree? It was that snake you put, God. God went to that snake and he's trying to look for someone he can't find him. He's like, darn, yep, you got me. So we like to shift blame. And I did this a lot in my struggle, temptation. But God, I'm a good person, but no, I just had this one slip up. But overall, I'm a good person, God. And I kept trying to convince myself that. And I only ever got glory when I took ownership of my sin. Said, yes, God, I'm a bad person. This is who I am. And without you, I'm done. I'm done without you. That's when I started receiving the glory and healing. So the fourth one, come to Christ and receive healing and forgiveness. Now, we always say that Jesus died for the world, but Jesus died for you personally. And for that one specific sin, every sin you've done, but that one specific thing, that one shame that you struggle with, Jesus died specifically for that. So you need to picture that and believe that and envision that and allow him to carry your guilt and your shame. The last thing, and sometimes a lot of people forget about this, is to walk in your received forgiveness. It's not enough to ask Jesus to forgive you and then go on doing the same thing and living the same way. But because you've received that, because you want to return that glory back to God, you continue walking with God. And Adam and Eve's relationship did not end once they screwed up. They were banished and kicked from the garden, and there was distance, but God clothed them still, and God had a continuing relationship. So even when you mess up, God's not done with you. God still wants a relationship with you. In fact, I've messed up so many times I lost count, and God called me back every time. So if you're struggling with any sin, any shame, and he said, God won't take me back this time. I've been struggling with the same thing 100 times, 1,000 times, and I feel like a big phony before God. I only got victory and glory because I just humbled myself and kept coming every time, every time, every time, and God took me back every time. So walk in your received forgiveness, and you grow in glory. Glory is a thing you grow in. You grow in your victory over sin. You grow in your victory over shame. You rise in glory. You grow in it. So I just want you to get you to think about this. And God does not want you to live in shame in your relationships to him or other people. God wants you to spend your time with him in relationship and glory. God wants you to reflect everything you're meant to be into the world, into your relationships. God wants to carry your shame. Jesus wants to cover your shame and let you have that glorious relationship. And I know it's, I told you I forgot it was Father's Day, but even if you don't have good relationships or you have shame in dealing with your fathers, know that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you so much, who's always there for you. Yeah, I just want you to think about this, and I'm just going to close off in prayer, and I'm just going to give you a moment to just think about anything that you may want to think about before God, and just to think about the question God poses to you. Do you want a relationship with glory with me, and do you want me to cover your shame for you? So I'm just going to give you a moment of silence, then I'm going to close in prayer. You know our hearts, you know everything we struggle with, the good and the bad, Lord. And I thank you for what you did on the cross, Jesus, for dying for us, for covering our shame, for dying for us specifically, dying specifically for that shame, for that one sin that we may be dealing with, Lord. And I pray that we accept your offer of exchanging our shame for glory, Father, to know that you can take the deepest hurts and the deepest brokenness and restore lives and restore relationships, Father. And to know that even if we may have shameful relationships in certain areas of our life, that we have a good Father who loves us, Lord, and always willing to restore us, Lord. So I pray that you may be with everyone here, Lord, and may they continue to grow in glory and victory in relationship with you in the world, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Can we please all stand as we respond to that? I think the songs are very appropriate just to turn back to that with. And higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger than the power of the grave, and constant through the trial and the change, one thing.